In the book of Hebrews, in chapter 11, it tells us faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. So we've been talking about faith. Paul wrote to the Ephesians and he said that salvation is by grace through faith, that faith is the door to salvation, to everlasting life. And we've been talking now about faith. This is our second week. Last week we talked about using the acronym FAITH, F-A-I-T-H, faith being fully relying on God. Today we use the second letter in the word faith, and that is A, standing for assurance. Faith is assurance. Assurance of God's grace. If any of you have ever gotten blood work done at a lab, you know you get the results back. The results show you what it is you're high in, what you're low in, what your readings are. And if we were to have our spiritual conditions tested in the same way, we would get our report back, our results back. And as we talked last week, one thing we'd be high on would be worry, isn't it? But one thing that many, many Christians are low on is assurance. And the reason is, like in our blood work results, because we have been digesting the wrong food. Through poor teaching and disobedience to God's word, the enemy sows the seeds of doubt in our hearts. And we start doubting things. We start doubting God's word. We start doubting God himself. The writer of Hebrews tells us that faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Being sure gives us assurance. Hope is not assurance. Although they are connected, hope is defined as a feeling inside that what is wanted will happen. But we need something more than a feeling. We need something concrete. We need something foundational. We need something that never changes or deviates. We need something to make us sure that no matter what happens, the result will be good. And this especially becomes important when it comes to our salvation and hope for this life and eternal life with God. Again, I say that hope and faith are interconnected. In you read in Romans, Paul talks in Romans 5 about hope and faith and perseverance and how they don't disappoint us. They all interact and work together, but hope and faith are not the same things. Hope is the feeling that we have inside that is going to happen. Faith is being sure that it's going to happen. We say there's only two things in life that we can be sure of, and that's death and taxes. Well, that's not really true, because look how many people don't pay their taxes. Okay? So really, the only thing in life that we can be sure of is death. Everybody dies. The one thing that's common to every human being is we die. So it's key for us as human beings to understand and have assurance of what is going to happen to us at that moment. And there's nothing more disheartening than a Christian who only hopes. In their prayer life, they hope. I hope God that this, and I hope God that that. Or maybe in their life every day, I hope this, I hope that. And especially in death. Especially in death. I hope I'm going to heaven. Now some of you may be thinking this is a little prideful this morning. It's a little prideful to really be sure, to really in our hearts be sure of what's going to happen to us. If someone is in Christ Jesus, they can know. Read the writings of John in 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. The word know, we know, I know, is throughout the whole New Testament. Because God wants us to know. He wants us to have assurance. John writes in 1 John 5, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. In other words, he's writing to Christians, so that you may know you have eternal life. And I want to ask you today, first of all, are you sure that God loves you? Secondly, are you sure you are saved? And thirdly, are you sure that if you died this very moment, you would go to heaven? You can know for sure. You can have assurance. Assurance brings joy and peace to us and praise to God. Knowing in our hearts, knowing brings us joy and peace. And it alters the way that we live our lives as Christians. And living out our Christian lives. I wanted to be a little more sure of myself this fall when I went out hunting birds. So this past week I went out one morning with some friends from church. We went trap shooting. I wanted to build my assurance of my shooting ability. So when the birds flew up in the fall, I was sure I was going to get them, right? Now, as they were thrown from a stationary position, one of the things I like to do is I like to move around in the field, sort of like around in the field hunting, because, you know, we don't go out in the field and stand in one spot and the birds all fly the same, so we get used to hitting them at the same place. No, we move around, the birds move around. So I like to move around out in the field where the clay targets are thrown. I moved around wanting to work on all the angles because the birds fly at all the different angles. But my friends chose to stay in a stationary position, in one position. And they outshot me because they stayed firm in one position. You see, so many times Christians miss the mark because they're all over in what they believe. And they're blown here and there by the winds of false teaching and false religion. And it's extremely important that we stand firm in our position in what we believe on Christ. The cross of Calvary is the one position that we must stand firm on to have assurance. It's stationary and it never deviates in its meaning or its power for us today. I have a question. If Christ died for you, thinking of the cross, Christ died on the cross for you, why would He let you go? You see, in Christ, you have a fixed position. There's a difference, as I was saying, between faith and hope. We say, well, I hope I'm going to heaven. Christ died for my sins. I hope I'm going to heaven. No, you have to know. You have to believe to the point that you are sure in your heart. Through faith, we find assurance. Faith and hope are two different things. Let me use, for example, the farmer. Let's say you were a farmer, and you went out in the spring, and you sowed your seed in the ground, and you say, boy, I hope this comes up. I hope it rains. I hope this is a good year. You do it all with apprehension. Concerned every day, is it going to rain? Did I do the right things? Did I do this? Did I do that? Gee, it didn't come up right. Maybe I didn't have things set right. Or let me put it another way. Maybe you're one of these people who likes snow. Okay? You ride snowmobiles and you like snow. And you're saying, oh, I hope it snows this winter. I hope it snows. And you're constantly focused on the sky and the weather person on television who doesn't know. You see, we start to kind of lose our way a little bit. Think about the attitudes and the actions with which each person goes about their daily lives. One's looking up, the other's looking down, and they're thinking, boy, I hope this is going to happen. I hope this is... With the Christian life, we must know. And again, some might say this sounds a little prideful or boastful. Paul often said, if I boast, I shall boast in Christ, because Christ was his source of faith and a sure and certain thing. I boast in my assurance. Not because of who I am or what I've done, but because of who Christ is and what He's done for me. In our text today, Jesus is at the Feast of Dedication. We know it is Hanukkah in approximately December in Jerusalem. And the Pharisees and the religious leaders were with Him and around Him. And they said to Him, how long will you keep us in suspense if you are the Messiah? Tell us plainly. Jesus said, I've been trying to tell you and you didn't believe. You did not believe. The miracles are the testimony that I am who I say I am. But you don't even believe the miracles. And he says, the reason you don't believe is because you are not my sheep. You are not of my flock. My sheep listen to my voice. Not just, you know, yeah, I hear you, Jesus. I hear you, Jesus. Listening is more than just taking in. It affects the actions of the hearer. The sheep listen to Jesus. He knows them, and in listening, they're obedient. They follow him. He says, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. And my Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. He says, I did show you, but you did not believe. That word believe in the Greek language was pistis, meaning putting faith in or trust in something. He's saying, I showed you, but you didn't put your trust or faith in me as the Messiah. He says, my sheep listen to me. They receive what I say. They receive who I am. They adopt me as their shepherd, and I adopt them as my sheep. In obedience and union together with Christ, I give them eternal life. And as a result, they shall never perish. They shall never be destroyed. In fact, no one can snatch them. As the King James Version says, no one can pluck them out of my hand. I want you to think about this a little bit. It's like the little lightning bug that we catch in our hand and we have it inside. There it is in our hands. Nothing can take it out because we have it in there. Nothing can pluck it out of Jesus' hands. Nothing. Jesus not only has us protecting us, but he's grasping us, holding us, so that we cannot fall from grace, from his hand. I want you to think about this. If, as the Bible teaches us, salvation comes by grace through faith in Jesus, and by faith in Jesus you become one of his sheep. You know, believers are sheep, unbelievers are not. Believers not only hear Jesus, but listen to him and obey him. Unbelievers do not. Believers are going to have eternal life. Unbelievers are not, with Jesus, I should say. Believers are held tightly in the grasp of Jesus, and unbelievers are not. So the Bible teaches us salvation comes from God, not from us. And secondly, that we are in good hands in Jesus. We are in good hands, and it isn't with Allstate. And therefore, believers are secure in the hands of Christ. Secure in the hands of Christ, and unbelievers are not. In some denominations, this is known as eternal security or the perseverance of the saints. And knowing this and believing that you and I are in the hands of Christ is true faith and assurance. In the hands of Christ because of faith, not by works. Not by works. Let me use an example here. We got our backpack in life. We carry around our spiritual portfolio. Well, let's see. What do we got in here? Well, we got our cars, we got all of our goods that we got. Let's see, well, I'm a pretty intelligent person. I got my books in my backpack here, in my spiritual portfolio, I got my books. Let's see, well, I got my cars and all my accomplishments because I've been a great person. Oh yes, and I can't forget this. Oh boy, I got my money. Yep, I'm really in that social class. I got the money on. God's going to look favorably on me. Let's see here. I got my diploma from college. Boy, God was really pleased with that when I did that. You know, when I spent all that hard work, that ought to get me to heaven. I have another award here. It's an award for being in church, never missing a Sunday for 50 years. Oh, I got that. Let's see what else I got in here. Oh, I got a pin for not missing a Sunday school. Let's see. I got a certificate reminding me of the time that I served at that one place helping people, or I went on that mission trip. So what do we do? We got all these things and we think, wow, God's really pleased with me. I'm a good Christian. And we walk around like this all of our lives and we think that when we get to heaven, stand in front of God, and God says, yeah, what do you got there? What do you got there? And we're going to say, well, God, here's that God. I was a good person down there. You'd really be pleased with what I did. Here it all is, and dump it out in front of me. And he looks at us and he says, all of your righteous deeds are like filthy rags. All of your righteous deeds are like filthy rags. And God's going to say, I don't see any blood. I don't see any blood. Along is going to come the person behind. And he's going to have this blood stained thing on him. He's going to have Christ on. God's going to look at him or her and he's going to say, enter into my glory. No questions asked. You see, by faith in Jesus, our preserver and our provider, not by works, but in faith, believing, becoming one of his sheep. I'm often asked if we can lose our salvation. Once we come to Christ, if we can lose that salvation. The answer is found in the grasp of God. It's not that we can lose our salvation, which I personally don't believe that we can, because I believe it's that God has us in his grasp, that he's not going to let us fall. Okay? If salvation is by God's grace, our assurance, and we can be sure, is in knowing that he will not let us go. The Bible does not teach that saints or Christians, that believers or sheep, once believing and receiving the Holy Spirit, the Bible does not teach that that person can fall so far as to not be able to be brought back to salvation. Nor do United Methodists, if you read the Book of Discipline. We get a bad rap as United Methodists because we're told by others that we believe that we can lose our salvation. No, we don't. The original United Methodist doctrine was that we are held in the grace of God's hands and God will not let us go. Do we backslide? You bet we do, but he never lets go of us. We're held tightly in his hands. Some people say, well, yeah, what about Hebrews? What Hebrews 6 and Hebrews 4 says. In Hebrews 6 it says, let's leave the elementary teachings about Christ. Those immature teachings. Let's go on to maturity. Let's think about this maturely. It is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the coming age, it's impossible if they fall away to be brought back to repentance, because to their loss they are crucifying the Son of God all over again. I want you to think about this person. They tasted. They shared. But they didn't ingest it. They had a piece of it. They heard the word. They tried it out. But they didn't receive it internally and accept it internally. And the writer of Hebrews is saying it's impossible for someone who rejects it. There's no other way to be brought to salvation except through Christ. In chapter 4, the writer says, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of the promise. For we also have had the gospel preached to us just as they did, but the message they heard wasn't of value to them because those who heard it did not combine it with faith. They didn't believe when they heard the word. And if our faith rests on God through faith in Jesus Christ, we say, great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father, there is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thou compassions, they fail not. As you have been, forever will you be. Summer and winter, springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Pardon for sin and peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow, blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. That's awesome, folks. Theologically, that is awesome. It's because of God's faithfulness that morning by morning new mercies we see. All we've needed, His hand is provided, because God is faithful in providing it and holding us tightly in His hand, guarding us and protecting us. You see, folks, assurance doesn't depend on us. Assurance does not depend on us. That's why we so often doubt, because we start looking to ourselves for assurance. And someday all that is going to be wiped away. The foundation for our assurance lies in what God has already done in Jesus Christ. And Christ's desire for us is to be with Him. Do you know that when He prayed in the garden before He was crucified, He prayed, "Father, my desire is that my sheep, my people, all that You've given me, will be with me in glory." All the believers, His desire is for us to be with Him. And it works itself out in our daily lives, and especially in eternal life, only as we are determined to stand firm in what He has done for us. You can't undo what God has done. He will not let you go. Hebrews chapter 12 says, "We're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, so let's throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let's run with perseverance to the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter or finisher of our faith." You see, the reason we can't do that is because we're so focused on doing all this, thinking this will get us the eternal prize. But instead, when we have assurance that it's not on all that, we stop wasting our time and we start focusing on the Lord. And it completely changes how we live our lives. It completely changes us. That there's no apprehension. "Well, I don't know. Well, what's this guy say? Well, what's this lady say? What do you think? What do you think?" It's what God says that we stand firm on. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter. If He's going to let you go, He's not the perfecter. He's not the finisher. But not only is He the author who authored your faith, He is the finisher who will finish it when you step into glory. And He says, "Enter into my glory." The author and the finisher, who for the joy set before Him, endured the cross. People say, "Well, okay, what about our sin? We continue to sin as Christians." Yes, we do. We do continue to sin. But God doesn't say, "All right, I'm done with you. You're no longer my child." God does say, "I'm displeased with you, that you need to repent." And the reason that we still sin is because we're still in this fleshly body that gives into the desires and temptations of life, anger, divisions, all kinds of things that the Bible names. And God's solution for those who are in Christ, and here's the good news, is that we're going to shed this perishable body and we're going to put on a new one. That's God's promise based on what He has already done in Jesus and receiving Jesus as our personal Savior. To not receive Jesus is to doubt all that. To doubt all that is not to have faith. And not having faith is not having salvation. And not having salvation is not having eternal life with Jesus. I don't hope that that will happen, that I'll shed this perishable body. I know. I am sure. I am at peace that it will happen, and until then, He will keep me in His hand because He wants me there, and because of faith in Him, persuaded that He will not let me go. Assurance comes from the cross of Christ, God's promises to us, and your faith that what He says is true. I read something this past week that was very interesting and I thought applies in my closing this morning. Faith does not make things easy, but it makes things possible. And the Bible tells us, with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. Let's join and say that together. All things are possible. Yes, even this little old dirty country boy, I'm only going to go that far, can stand in the pulpit and preach and tell others about God's transforming power. All things are possible. I don't know what it is you might be dealing with right now in life, but there is only one hope, and His name is Jesus Christ, and we need to have faith in Him that the end result will be good according to His will, and that He'll reveal that to us, that along the way He's carrying us, along the way He's wrapping Himself around us, saying, I got you. Just lean back and let go. Have assurance. Have faith in me. Trust me. Assurance comes from the cross of Christ. That in Christ Jesus, all things are possible. So our question today and for next week, we ask, so how do I build my faith? How do I build my faith? And this is the application part as we examine next week the I in faith, which is intelligently searching the Scriptures. Fully relying on God. Faith is fully relying on God. And assurance from God, being sure of what we hope, persuaded that He says what He says is true, and He will carry me through to the end. Those red letters in your Bibles where Jesus says, believers are His sheep. My sheep listen to me. My sheep follow me. No one can snatch them out of my hands. That is our assurance of security, of perseverance, until this race is run and we cross the finish line into eternal life forever. Let's pray. Our Lord and God, we just thank You for our morning together here this morning. And